Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. We're sending out in the mailing, which comes this week, Why Christianity Has Failed in America. And it's equally true for Britain and Australia and New Zealand, as well as South Africa, or we can say the whole Commonwealth. This is written by Phil Neal, our editor. And in the back, we have an appendix. Has Christianity's decline spawned atheist churches? There are atheist churches meeting on Sunday. Now, that goes along with an article that Jim gave me, which I will save for another sermon that I'm going to give on the rise of atheism. Satanist tug on Bible Belt. Remember in Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma, you can say, is the exact smack dab center of American Bible Belt. And my wife from there is cheering. Because she's from Oklahoma. Now then. The legislature approved setting up a Ten Commandment monument like the one that Judge Roy Moore had the Supreme Court say, get rid of. So now then, the atheists are going to come down and put up a memorial for themselves in Oklahoma right alongside the Ten Commandments. Now you see what happens when you think one thing, like our founders did, concerning freedom of religion. They did not want a state religion like Catholicism in Europe, nor the Church of England in England, which, by the way, restricts everything, so the gospel could really not have been preached out of England. It had to be centered in America. Because we had freedom of religion, and we have had it. However, they failed to understand what it means that you can have freedom of religion. They did not think of all the pagan religions coming here 200 years later, see. Now they're here. Now what are you going to do with them? And the ones from the Mediterranean islands, part of their religion is smoking pot. So they're way ahead of Washington, the state of Washington and Colorado. Okay? So all of this comes at a time, and what is the last verse in the book of Judges? Let's turn there and read it. Because here is what is happening in America. Now, freedom, if it is governed with God's laws, which brings true freedom, would not allow any of these things to happen. Now, look at the very last verse, Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And because of freedom of speech. Now, there needs to be freedom of speech. But what happens with that? The same thing as freedom of religion. Sooner or later. See, because with man, there's a way that seems right to a man, and everybody says, oh, the Constitution of the United States is nearly as sacred as the Bible. Well, it's not. And besides, those in the executive branch and Senate of the United States of America disregard the Constitution. It is virtually de facto zip. And who knows whether any of it can be restored to any form of decency in the next few coming years. All right, I'm going to give a little more news for you, because there's a lot of news happening, and you're not going to hear it on the regular news channels or news outlets. Maybe some of it you will hear on some talk shows. And for those, what's his name, Savage? Michael Savage. Most people, if they hear Michael Savage, they say he is a raving lunatic. However, if you can listen to him on the radio, you will see he has a lot of good things, and many of them are biblically based. However, he does not understand the truth of God. See, every time you take part of the truth of God, you can go so far. And then you come up against a wall, okay? Likewise, with this health care, called Obamacare, which now they're trying to say, if you call it Obamacare, you're a racist. Well, what does that make Obama? Because he calls it Obamacare himself. Now, remember last week I talked to you about Raymond Kurzweil? All right? He and Eric Schmidt of Google worked together to try and bring about transhumanism in the way of computers and controlling the mind. What does Google want to do? How's this? They want to put microphones in your ceiling and microchips in your head. You don't need a phone anymore. Hello, who's this? This is your local police. You're in violation of regulation such and such. Yes, sir. Remember the verse in Deuteronomy 28? Let's read it. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Can you already feel the oppression of Obamacare? Or are you anticipating more oppression with Obamacare? Try the local police. Okay. Deuteronomy 28, verse 43. The stranger dwelling among you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. And that's because they will force control on everyone. Okay? Let's look at a couple more headlines. I won't get into the details of it. The administration is amending the Constitution by statute. At least they have that on the news. Time magazine's Person of the Year is Pope Francis I. Have you read anything what's happened in Argentina? It is a socialist state. Only this socialism starts with a C and not an S. And the Pope really loves that. The Belgium Senate votes to extend euthanasia to children. Remember when they started out with fighting over abortion? And everyone who said, well, this will eventually come to the point that euthanasia will be the law of the land as well. Oh, no, it won't. You're a nut. Really. DARPA. This ties in with what we read with what Google wants. DARPA is funding an implantable chip far more advanced than Digital Angel, MMEA, multiple micro electrode array. So it's coming. It's coming. Now, just the other day, I think it was on Wednesday, when Jim was here, he drove up, and here's a man right outside in our parking lot from the Verizon Telephone Center there, and he's flying the latest little thing that is a little helicopter. Have you seen the ad where Google wants to deliver to your front door in a half hour? Or Best Buy wants to deliver to your door in a half hour? Now, this has four little electric motors on it.
You cannot hear it.
It is so technical that just with the little flip of the switch, whoosh, can turn upside down. All that technology in four little microchips on the four little electrical propelled engines. So I want you to think about this verse and see how it's going to come about. We see it. And so the moral of the story is this: God's word will always be fulfilled to the maximum, never to the minimum. And the only mitigating factor will be individual repentance by people toward God. Now let's continue on with the 14 things that are going to happen in prophecy. Okay, here we go. Last time we covered number 8, the temple and the abomination of desolation. So this time we're going to cover the false prophet. So number 9, the false prophet. Now let's come to the book of Revelation. And as we're turning there, remember that under Satan's system, the religious leader always ordains and sanctifies the civil leader. And we will look at some things in the book of Zechariah here in just a little bit. Okay? Revelation 13. Now, in Revelation 13, this does not label the false prophet with the word false prophet. Okay? But we will see it does in two other places. Now, also always remember this. If God says it once, it will happen. So a lot of people look at that and say, well, he doesn't repeat it, so it may not really be so. Now, here's an interesting thing concerning Revelation 13. The first part, we know, covers the civil beast, which will have its leader, one of the 10 heads, the one that was wounded to death and came back to life. Now, for the second one, let's read it. Let's see how it identifies what it really is. Now, we're told, let's come here to verse 7, and we'll finish with the beast. And he was given power to make war against the saints. And you can see that all building up, building up, building up, and coming to it. And overcome them. Now notice the last part of this verse. And authority, he was given authority over every tribe and language and nations. That is a world government. And it will be fully ready to go with all of the technologies that they are working on right now very furiously. All right? And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Wherever it says that, we always have to, you know, pay great attention to what is said. Come down to verse 11 now. Verse 11. And I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. and he exercises all the authority of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast. And isn't that what we found in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter? Yes. Whose deadly wound was healed. And he performs great wonders, so that he even causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. That is a religious figure. Now then, just a little sidebar. Some of the Seventh-day Adventists believe the first beast is the Pope, and the second beast is the United States of America. And they couldn't be more wrong. Someone asked me to give my opinion concerning the SDAs. Well, I'll tell you the Bible evaluation, because my opinion doesn't count. The Bible shows, aside from the Sabbath and taking care of the families and children, everything else has been transferred over from a form of Catholicism into the SDA Church. Let's go ahead. Verse 14. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by means of the miracles that were given to him to perform in the sight of the beast. So just like it was written by Paul in 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, that Jannes and Jambres were the two that withstood Moses and Aaron, these are the two that are going to withstand the two witnesses. Let's continue now. Saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast, which had the wound by the sword, yet was alive. And he was given power to give life to the image of the beast. Now you go back to Daniel 3, and you have the great image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. That's a type of the one that is coming at the end time. Okay? And with all the technology today, you know that everyone is going to be testing this thing to see whether it actually speaks or whether it is a technological creation. And it's going to be a pure satanic operation, and it will speak. And he causes everyone who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So the time is going to come. You can do all that you try and do now. But remember, how did all the apostles die? How did many of the Christians die? How did many of those, for just the name of Jesus, even down to this day, they have been killed? So we are moving into a time when that will be a reality. And they will have such technology that no one, anywhere, will have a place to hide. So if our hiding place is not God the Father and Jesus Christ. And you know, people, this is not a joyous thing to have. However, what if Jeremiah said to God, "Oh God, this is such a terrible message. I want to give some good, happy messages." God said, "I'm replacing you." So sometimes these things need to be said. Our joy comes from the fact we have the Holy Spirit of God. We worship God the Father and Jesus Christ directly. We pray for strength and protection as God wants to give it to us. And then everything else goes from there. All right. And he, now this refers back to the one that the image was made to, or the beast of the government. He causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name. And in today's economic society, if you don't have your credit card, And if you have some cash, that'll only go so far. And then guess what? We'll have to face the reality of it. All right? Now let's come to Revelation 16. Here's where it mentions concerning the false prophet and the beast. Let's pick it up in verse 12. Revelation 16 and verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, because after it was dried up the first time, it began to flow again, so here it's flowing. And its waters were dried up, so that the way of the kings of the rising of the sun might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So there it's mentioned once. And that if you put it together with Revelation 13, what do you have? You have Satan, you have the beast, and you have the false prophet. Three. A trinity. Okay. Let's come to Revelation 19. God has a surprise for them. Yes. Revelation 19 and verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war with him who sits on the horse and with his army. No contest. And the beast was taken. So God has a special thing for the beast. And with him the false prophet who worked miracles in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. Then we know what's going to happen to Satan. He's going to be captured and bound in the bottomless abyss. Now let's come back to Zechariah, the fifth chapter. Okay? Zechariah, the fifth chapter. Now I'm going to ring my cowbell. And I'm sure that many of you have read Zechariah 5 and wondered what on earth could it mean. So I would like to propose something that we can think on. Zechariah, the fifth chapter, and let's hope that this helps us understand it. Okay? Verse 1. Then again I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying scroll. Verse 2, Zechariah 5. And he said to me, what do you see? And I answered, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits, and its breadth is 10 cubits. And he said to me, this is the curse that goes over the face of the whole earth. Now, what else are we told in Revelation 12:9 about the whole world? Satan is deceiving the whole world. Okay? We'll add another verse as we go along here in just a bit. For everyone who steals shall be cut off according to it, and everyone who swears from now on shall be cut off according to it. I will bring it forth, says the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, into the house of him who swears falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall devour it and its timbers and its stones. In other words, eventually, everyone who believes in this cursed thing, it's going to cause God's power to come upon them in judgment. Let's read on. Then the angel who talked with me went forth and said to me, lift up your eyes now and see what this is that goes forth. And I said, what is it? And he says, this is the measuring container that goes forth. And moreover, he said, this is their resemblance throughout all the earth. And behold, a round lead cover was lifted up. And a woman was sitting upon the measuring container. Now, what do we have in Revelation 17? Okay. And he said, verse 8, "This is wickedness." And he threw her down into the midst of the measuring container, and he thrust down the round lead covering over the opening. Put a cap on it. Now, is this a type of holding something in abeyance until it's time to spring forth? Very much so. "And I lifted up my eyes, and behold, two women came out." Now let's stop and think about that for just a minute. In history, the Babylonian period was called an axial period of time, which means that everything before the Babylonian Empire came to an end, and now we have something new coming out of Babylon. And this developed during the days of Nebuchadnezzar. They trace all the Eastern religions back to Babylon. And they trace Western Christianity back to Babylon. The Pope is called His Holiness. The Dalai Lama is called His Holiness. Could it be, that these two women represent the Eastern religions and the Western religions that come together, and the Pope will end up being the leader? I don't know, but this seems to make sense. So we can't say dogmatically, but we can say this is something to think on. "And the wind was in their wings, and they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the measuring container between the earth and the heavens. And I said to the angel who talked with me, 'Where are they going with this measuring container?' And he said to me, 'To build a house for it in the land of Shinar.'" And the land of Shinar is Babylon, where both these religions came from. "And when it is prepared, she shall sit there in her own place." Now, I bring that forth as something to consider in the things that will take place, because you can't lay everything on the Catholic Church alone, because that leaves all the Eastern religions out of the mix. And you cannot do that. And they all have come out of Babylon. So if you're going to have the woman, Babylon the Great, ride the beast, as it says there, Revelation 17. And the beast has power over all the earth. It has to be more than the Catholic Church, because she has her daughters. And the daughters are full grown. All the religions of the world. And remember, they have been working on having a conglomerate one-world religion for well over 100 years. And I have shown you the scriptures that they have in past sermons. I brought this out on Church at Home. Maybe I ought to give another sermon on it. All right. Now let's look at something else. Now let's come to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, which also was talking about the last days. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, that just before, or right after the book of Hebrews. Okay, 2 Timothy 3. All right. Let's see what we're dealing with. Now, I've been doing something in my mind as I'm watching the commercials and all these commercials for Christmas and everything. And I've been following that along with 1 John 2, verses 15 and 16. "Love not the world, nor the things in the world. For everything that is in the world is not of the Father. For the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pretentious pride of life are not of the Father, but of the world. And that goes all the way back to the first sin of Adam and Eve. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pretentious pride of life. That we will decide for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. Now let's pick it up here in verse 1, because this describes this world today. Know this also, that in the last times, perilous times shall come. And let's just put a little sidebar here with it. What did Jesus say? That there is coming a time of tribulation that has not been since the beginning of the world and shall never ever be again. So as I mentioned earlier, when God says he's going to fulfill these scriptures, they're going to be maximum, not minimum. For men shall be lovers of self. That's the first very thing that God cannot work with. What are we to do? What did Jesus say we are to do? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God, correct? How are we to serve God? He loves us. We are to love him in return with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all of our strength. All right? So lovers of self, and that could not epitomize this world today. There was a little sidebar here. There was on the news this bus driver who had a whole bus full of rowdy young teenagers. So he stopped the bus, called the police. And the policeman came into the bus and stood in the front of the bus, and they showed the camera that was on the bus looking back at all of the students in the bus, and it showed the back of the policeman's head. And he was correcting them, saying, you cannot do these things. You must control yourself. You cannot be fighting and arguing and quarreling. He was suspended. That's what happens when you get bleeding hearts and liberal ideas. You can't discipline your children. You can't spank your children. And they grow up to be absolute hideous brats. Lovers of self. Lovers of money. Just like this little song showed today. We get our welfare and you pay for it. Braggarts, whoopee-doo, proud from the highest office in the land, blasphemers, atheists, and it falls, as this book shows, at the doorsteps of the pulpits of the Christian churches in America. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, you do this. Try and take away the cell phone from your kids and restrict their access to their computers and have them sit down and read the book of Proverbs with you. You just consider that. Okay. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, all kinds of unnatural affection, implacable, you couldn't budge them with a bulldozer, slanderers, without self-control. Remember the sit-in at the Wall Street? The police were ordered, do not arrest anyone, do not do anything to them. And they trashed the place, raped women, took drugs. Savage. The police come, they're attacked. Despisers of those who are good, betrayers, reckless, egotistical, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Yes, indeed. If you don't believe that, go online for all the sports, college sports, professional sports of all kinds. You have baseball, basketball, hockey. You have, what is this one where they have the, anyway, they have all kinds of sports, all right? And you can find jackets, shirts, shoes, just for that sport. You can find pictures of the stars who endorse the jackets and the shoes and all of those things. And people become so engrossed with it that they all wear the t-shirt with the number of their famous sport figure. Lovers of pleasure and idolaters, right? Yes, indeed. Right before our very eyes. Now, on top of it, verse 5, having an outward appearance of godliness, yet 90% of the people say, we believe in God. Caveat, the way I want to. But denying the power of true godliness. But for you, turn away from all these. For from such men as these come those who are worming their way into houses and are gaining control over empty-headed, gullible women. Okay, Kardashians. In addition to all the pornography there is, they have on the regular channels the inner workings of the Kardashian family. Yes. And what do you find there? Empty-headed, gullible women arguing over who's the prettiest, who has the dress, and all this sort of thing. Given over to various sins, being driven by all kinds of lust. They're always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I wanted to cover this before we come to the next point, which is the two witnesses. Okay? Now, verse 8. Now, just as Jannes and Jambres stood against Moses, and you can put Aaron, so they were two, in the same manner also, these are brazenly standing against the truth. They are men of depraved minds, reprobate in respect to the faith. What's going to happen to them? But they will proceed no further because their folly will become clearly evident to everyone, just as theirs was. Now then, let's come to point number 10. The two witnesses. Let's look at them. Let's look at them. Revelation, the 11th chapter. Two witnesses. We covered the part concerning the temple. Now let's come to verse 3. And let's ask the question, why does God do this? And why are there the two witnesses? Now, just a little sidebar. I will show you in a little bit that neither of the two witnesses come from any of the churches of God. Period. And there have been some men who proclaimed others to be the two witnesses. I remember that years ago when we were just learning of God's way and in college, and later on it became very strong that these two leading men were the two witnesses. Well, they're both in the grave waiting the resurrection. Wasn't them. Then we had a man recently who said he was one of the two witnesses, and a little later I'll tell you who the second one was. And he later said it was his wife. And now he's sitting in federal prison for stealing tithes and offerings to serve himself. He even wrote a book. People follow him. And still, while he's in prison, there are people who send money to his organization. Now then, how much do they really know about their Bibles and how much have they really studied? How much do they really believe? Okay? Why are there going to be two witnesses? Let me explain it this way without going through a lot of scriptures. Number one, we find that the fifth seal in Revelation, the sixth chapter, shows there is going to be a mass martyrdom against all Christians, true Christians, as well as those who are willing to give their life for Jesus. Those who are willing to give their life for Jesus. Let's come to Revelation 17. We'll come back. I'll explain it to you. Will undoubtedly be raised at the second resurrection. Are there people in the world who only know about Jesus Christ and are not converted, but follow in a religion that has many things from the Bible, and they are well-intended? Yes. Will they be willing to give their lives for Jesus? Yes. All right? Let's read it. Verse 6, Revelation 17. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Two categories of people that are martyred. One, the true saints who have the Spirit of God. And of those, Jesus said, don't worry what's going to happen to your body. The only thing they can do is kill your body, but they can't take your life. Those are the true Christians. The others are those who profess Christianity but will not submit to the beast power, nor submit to the one world religion. They will die as well. And they will probably be in the second resurrection. Now, before the tribulation begins, we know in Revelation 12 that there are some of the church who are taken to a place of safety in the wilderness, correct? Yes. Some, not the majority. Why is God going to do that? Most people don't know. It's not so you can escape the tribulation, though those who go will escape the tribulation. No, it's not based on that. It's based on one thing only. Jesus said that he would build his church upon himself, and the gates of the grave would never prevail against it. So if all of the true Christians and all of those who stand for Jesus are martyred, if there were not those in a place of safety, the church would die out. So that's why they go. Now, God has to make the selection. And I find it very interesting, and we'll take a break here in just a minute, that years ago, people used to even carry a Petra box in the trunk of their car to church with them, just in case they got the word that we're going to go to a place of safety, but they forgot the scripture which said, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath. Let's take a break.